We meet on a solemn occasion after the death of our sovereign, the Queen. May we be helped to commence with hymn 1139. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Hymn 1139.
Thank you. us read together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand for ever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman mounteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word. And help us now as we come before him in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we come to bow before thee now, to worship thee, as we are found gathered together here in these thine earthly courts. And we would be thankful for another opportunity, another time granted unto us to turn aside from the scenes of life and to turn in all to this place where thine honour dwelleth. And Lord, thou knowest how we have come. And thou knowest, Lord, those who have come in need, those who have come prayerfully, any who have come in distress, in sorrow, in sadness, those who are bowed down, those who are greatly tried, any who may feel to be at their wit's end, those who feel to have deep valleys, high mountains and hills, and so many things are crooked and so many things are rough. Those who have come seeking help, seeking the Lord Jesus, seeking a word from the Lord, seeking a blessing tonight, seeking a portion for their souls. Or perhaps they long, as we read concerning Ezekiel, when he spake that the word of the Lord came expressly unto me. There may be those here longing for thy word to come expressly unto them. O Lord, remember such, and bless them this night, and may none go home disappointed. If any have come carelessly, indifferently, satisfied with form and custom, O touch our hearts. Bring them into concern of their never-dying souls and a never-ending eternity. Oh, may they leave thy courts very troubled, very burdened. So, Lord, remember each and every one, from the youngest to the eldest. We would remember those who would be here if they could, those at home with little ones, those caught up in employments, any who are poorly or laid aside in affliction and weakness, and any who may be away at this time. Lord, remember them each. Lord, our dependence upon thee. Come and make one in the midst tonight, and may it be noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. The Lord is here. May there be that solemn awe about this place. O Lord, help us to worship thee aright. But do remember us, and do come and bless us, and come and do us good. And Lord, we come at this time as a nation in mourning, following what appeared to be that sudden death of our late Queen. And we do believe it right to give thee thanks for her long reign, and that stability, that good example in many ways. We would be thankful for the good that she was enabled to do. She did speak of her Christian faith. We can only hope that it was a faith of God's elect. Lord, thou knowest. Now we pray for her family in sadness and bereavement, a great loss for them, and a great loss for us as a nation. And we think of the Commonwealth and many others who will also feel her loss. We are exhorted to pray for all in authority. And now, Lord, we pray for our new King, King Charles. Lord, remember him as he now takes on this great position and the responsibility. And we pray, Lord, that his heart may be touched. Oh, Lord, that he may do good. Oh Lord, we do pray for him at this time in deep mourning over the loss of his own mother, and yet the weight of the responsibility that must be upon him now. Oh, do uphold and strengthen him and preserve him and all the royal family at this time of great change. Lord, remember them, as others also have new responsibilities. Do help them. And, O Lord, we do pray that our Protestant constitution may be upheld and maintained. We pray, Lord, that there may be peace in our times. We would also pray again for our new Prime Minister. Lord, in this role that she has and the responsibility, the government, the new Minister's estate, and all the decisions, all the great matters before them, we think of the advisers also. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to raise up such with a fear of God in their hearts, those who will give good counsel, good advice. Oh, those, Lord, who will seek to do that which is right in thy sight. Because, Lord, as a nation we have fallen. We have turned aside. Oh, there's wickedness all around. And how one mentioned recently, it's like the Gadarenes who desired Jesus to depart out of their coasts. So it is in our nation. But Lord, there is a little remnant of godly souls, a little remnant of praying souls. Mercy to be found amongst that remnant who sigh and cry over the abominations which are done in our land, the evils, the wickedness, the idolatry, the corruptions, the defilements, oh, these things which surely must provoke thee to anger and bring thy judgments upon us. But oh, Lord, as the salt of the earth preserves, O spare us, Lord. O spare us yet. Have mercy upon us. Overrule in all things, and Lord, at these momentous times of great change. O may it be our comfort that thou art over all and above all, that God is in control, that not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees it. So, Lord, do stir us up. Help us to cry mightily unto thee and be very gracious. And, oh, Lord, remember Zion. Oh, Zion afflicted with wave upon wave. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Heal breaches. Reconcile where there's divisions and troubles. Oh, grant peace and prosperity yet. We long to see a godly increase. We long to see souls wrought upon by the power of the Holy Ghost, born again, manifest as the people of God. Oh, we long to see the Lord adding daily such as shall be saved. O Lord, for thy great name's sake, would it please thee to do these things, that we may truly rejoice in thee. O Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? May we not live to see a better day in Zion, a better day for the gospel, when thy word shall go forth in divine power and unction and authority. And oh, to see our nation turn again unto the true God, the living God, the almighty God. Again, Lord, in Zion we pray that it would please thee yet to raise up, equip, and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry. And where there are those in exercise, those perhaps where an exercise has just begun, and all they can feel is their unfitness, their insufficiency, oh, feeling sent by whom thou wilt send, but not me. Oh, Lord, deepen that exercise, and may that time come when they must go and show themselves unto Israel. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Remember thy people worldwide, especially those who suffer persecution, imprisonment, deprivation, and great hardships. Undertake for them. Remember all who love and fear thy name. And Lord, we pray that wars may cease. Lord, could it please thee to restrain and constrain those in positions of great power, that thou art all-powerful, omnipotent, and the hearts of all men are in thy hand, but all to be kept faithful. Now, Lord, we would be thankful for every blessing and benefit and favour and privilege. At this time of year, we would be so thankful for the ingathering of the harvest and what is yet being gathered in, freely given. We would be so thankful. And all to count our many blessings, and to prove them to be innumerable, more than our troubles. Oh Lord, we would be truly thankful. Now do help us through this service. Be the master of our assembly to command the blessing, and prosper thy word, and glorify thy name. Pardon and forgive our every sin. We ask for Jesus' sake alone.
Hymn number 193. I am, says Christ, your glorious head. May we attention give the resurrection of the dead, the life of all that live. Hymn number 193.
Christ, your glorious head.
may be pleased to grant his gracious help. I direct our prayerful attention to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, and the opening two verses. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Isn't that a most precious promise the Lord Jesus gives unto his comfortless people? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And many a child of God in this waste howling wilderness, in this valley of tears, struggling on, labouring on, all feeling so dejected, so distressed, so desponding, so cast down, the hardness of the way, the sorrows of the way, with mighty enemies without, and much mightier enemies within. Oh, how he longs for that comfort. The comfort and consolations which only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring to the soul. I couldn't but help think of the account of the man who fell among thieves on the road down to Jericho. Oh, to picture him there after being stripped, robbed, beaten, and laying half dead, comfortless. Comfortless. He was in a most distressful state. He could find no comfort from self. And then the priest and the Levite coming that way, one after another, they saw him and they left him. No comfort from them. But a certain Samaritan also coming that way, when he saw him, he had compassion upon him. His heart was moved for him. Oh, he looked upon him. He saw this poor man in such a pitiful, distressing state. Oh, he was moved with compassion. And being moved with compassion, he came to him. He couldn't pass by on the other side. No, he came to him. And oh, how he lovingly, tenderly attended to him, binding up the wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine, gently lifting him up and putting him upon his own ass, and no doubt gently leading him to the inn, and there took care of him. Oh, what a comforter he proved to be. What a wonderful comfort to that one in great need. And you see, he came. He didn't come as soon as that man had been robbed. Again, we're not given time scale. But through that period, from being robbed to the Levite, to the priest, and then the Samaritan. Oh, and the Samaritan, he did come. He did come. And the dear Lord Jesus, he does come. He will come. He looks upon his people when at times they feel to be comfortless, as we have in a later chapter, and not comforted, tempest, and not comforted. And for a time, the people of God, in things that they're called to pass through, comfortless, not comforted. Finding no comfort in self. No comfort from an arm of flesh, Think of Job and the three friends who came to comfort him. And they meant well. I believe they were godly men. It's just that they misjudged. They couldn't really understand. They looked on and they had their own viewpoints and they spoke their own words. Miserable comforters are ye all. Ah, only the dear Lord at times can comfort his people in all the troubles and the distresses that they are called to pass through. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. I believe I'm right in saying that my people, the people of God, can only be comforted by God. They can only receive comfort from God. Now, don't misunderstand me. It is right where opportunity avails itself that we should comfort one another. It is scriptural to comfort one another. But at times, like Job's friends, we may prove to be miserable comforters. We just cannot give that comfort that the one really needs. We come short, we fail. I'm sure many here have experienced perhaps either side of it. You've needed comfort and one or another has come to comfort you and they just couldn't seem to reach you. The comfort seemed to come short. Or again, perhaps we've been the one trying to comfort another. And like Rahab, refused to be comforted. And we just couldn't comfort them. But the dear Lord, oh, when he comes, and he comes to comfort, he will prove to be a true comforter. And I'm sure there are some of you tonight have received that comfort. Have received that comfort from the Lord. A touch, a word, a blessing. Oh, when the Lord has come to perhaps heal, restore, revive, lift up, you've received that comfort and it's been such a comfort. A word in season, how good it is. A word from the Lord applied. You see, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem in the margin, to the heart. And the Lord speaks to the heart. And that soul must receive comfort. And so often a child of God is comforted when the Lord appears. Oh, when there seems to be a time of delay. When there's that great fear that the Lord will not come. My mind goes immediately to Martha and Mary. And they were comfortless. They refused to be comforted. All their hopes pinned upon the Lord Jesus coming to save and heal their dear brother. But he didn't come. And their brother Lazarus died. And they were full of distress. You see, this is where the people of God in many ways are more distressed than the worldling. When there is that hope of our prayers being heard and answered, a great comfort. But when for a time we may feel to be failed, when the Lord doesn't come, when things take a turn like it was with Lazarus that he died, and we feel the Lord was too late, and all the distress that the Lord didn't come. But the Lord did come. He did come. Now sense and reason would say too late. Lord, if thou had been here, our brother had not died. They both said independently. So we would imagine after Lazarus had died and speaking one to another, if only Jesus had come. I really don't know. I can only draw a bow to venture, but maybe one here. And that's a language tonight. Something has happened, and now it seems too late. If only the Lord had come. If only the Lord had answered my prayer. If only the Lord had intervened. If only the Lord had provided. Oh, if only the Lord had appeared. But he hasn't. If only. But the Lord will come. The Lord will come. He comes to his praying people, but then your fears are compounded. Well, perhaps I'm not really a praying person. Perhaps all my prayers are in vain. Perhaps I keep praying amiss. Or there can be no hope for me. The Lord will not come. But if your desire is for the Lord to come, he will come. He will come. Oh, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. He will come. And Jesus did come. He came to comfort Martha and Mary. Just sung that beautiful hymn on Christ being a resurrection and the life. And oh dear Martha, she just couldn't understand. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall not die. Believe ye this? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. They come to the tomb. Lord, by this time he stinketh. Did I not say unto thee? Oh, to be reminded of the word of the Lord, which endureth forever, which shall stand forever, if thou wouldest believe. Oh, how we struggle with unbelief and doubts and fears and misgivings and suspicions of the word of God. How can it be? Lord, increase our faith. Take ye away the stone. And then Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Loose him and let him go. Oh, the comfort to Martha and Mary. When they thought there was no hope. When they thought the Lord had failed them. When they thought it was all too late. Oh, how the dear Lord Jesus so comforted their hearts at that time with his love, his compassion, his goodness, resurrection and the life. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. As you know, the Bible has 66 books in Old and New Testament. The book of the prophet Isaiah has 66 chapters. Of course, the books of the Old Testament are 39. So it really brings the first book of the New Testament to, if you will, the 40th. And I see such a correspondence there with what we have here. The beginning of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus coming in the gospels, in the gospel to save his people from their sins. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. To speak comfortably to Jerusalem, the Lord will come. The Messiah will come. The Lord Jesus will appear. Oh, a Saviour will be born, and born to save his people from their sins. Oh, comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Now, as a hymn writer penned, what comfort can a Saviour bring to those who never felt their woe? Their woe as a lost, ruined, guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinner. It is such awakened by the Holy Spirit. It is such who are truly taught of God to know something of the plague of their own hearts, to know something of conviction of sin, something to know the holiness, righteousness and justice of God, and to know something of what they deserve by way of punishment for their sins. And souls thus convicted and taught and humbled and stripped and emptied, a comfortless. Oh, in and of themselves, they are ruined. They're guilty. They know that they are guilty. And they tremble before God. They tremble as a guilty sinner. Or they tremble, knowing that they have broken the law of God. They have not obeyed the commandments. They fear that great condemnation. They fear that eternal damnation. Oh, and they tremble, and they quake, and they fear. Oh, and though others may speak to them, others cannot comfort them. And though others may see, surely this is the beginning of a work of grace in their hearts. Oh, that dear soul fears otherwise. How can it be? I'm such a sinner. Such a great sinner. My iniquities, my transgressions, the sins of my youth, all the sins that I have committed in deed and in word and in thought. I'm a wretch of a sinner. There's no hope for me. I must surely perish eternally in hell. What hope is there for me? And yet the dear Holy Spirit, impressing upon the soul that God is merciful. God is merciful. And the mercy of God really is displayed in the gospel, the glad tidings of great joy. The Lord Jesus Christ, and him crucified, a saviour who receiveth sinners, a saviour who is able to save unto the uttermost. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, that is the people of God, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Have you noticed in the margin this word warfare can also be translated appointed time? Appointed time. Now, when the Lord comes to comfort his people, her appointed time is accomplished. Her warfare, it may be that warfare within, that warfare with Satan and the world and indwelling sin, that her warfare is accomplished, and the appointed time, the set time to favour Zion, the set time to favour that soul, with that discovery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if anything will comfort the people of God, it's that discovery, that revelation, that manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. The psalmist cried out, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." Nothing can be more important. Nothing can be more pressing to the needy soul to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, my Saviour. Oh, may I call thee mine, dear souls who fear to presume, but long to know, long for that appointed time, that set time to favour Zion. Just like the church has recorded in the Song of Solomon, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. She could not be comforted until she found him. It just comes to my mind in this way, just by way of illustration, when perhaps in a crowd of people, a parent may lose a child, and the parent in distress, perhaps the child also in distress, and both cannot be comforted with the loss of one another. And there is a time of seeking. Wherever they may have been going, however important the appointment or meeting, whatever it was, now all of that falls aside. Oh, the loved one must be found. Must be found. And what great diligence and lengths are gone to find the loved one. And when reunited, both are comforted. Ah, the child of God cannot be comforted until that discovery of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. My Saviour. I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Well, what a great comfort that the Lord has promised that those who seek him shall find him. And yet, being a seeker, though we derive a little comfort, of a great comfort is to be a finder. But I found him, whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. Oh, a great comfort to find him. And to find in him, oh, this is my friend and this is my beloved, the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely, my Lord and my God, my precious Jesus. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned. Pardon. Forgiveness. It speaks of mercy. Oh, that no sinner deserves to be pardoned. God's utter hatred of sin. It is such an abomination. It must be dealt with. It must be punished. But the dear Lord Jesus, in the room place instead of all his people, bore the punishment instead. And as the Holy Spirit may lead dear souls to Calvary, to view that scene of matchless grace of Jesus in the sinner's place, but oh, to see him by faith in my place. To see my sins, which I have committed, of which I am guilty and deserve the punishment of, are all laid upon the Lord Jesus to suffer, to bleed, and to die. That her iniquity is pardoned. Oh, the love of God. The love of God the Father in sending his only begotten Son, the love of the Son in so willingly, freely coming to suffer, bleed and die. Oh, to save his people from her sins. But oh, to know that pardon. When the Lord Jesus spoke to one and another, thy sins are forgiven thee. Go in peace. Oh, to know that pardon, that forgiveness. To see in the precious blood of Jesus that atonement for sin, where sin is put away. His precious blood which cleanseth from all sin. Her iniquity is pardoned. Turn to it now. It's in an earlier chapter in Isaiah. When the Lord speaks, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Now, guilty sinners out of Christ feel the anger of God. to see God out of Christ as a consuming fire, and his anger such a fearful sight, and that sinner trembles and quakes. But then to see God in Christ, thine anger is turned away. Only as the Lord may enable us can we really understand that the anger of God, the Father, against the sins of his people fell upon his Son. Divine justice, the punishment of sin. I tend to agree with those who believe that those hours of darkness when Christ was upon the cross was to hide from the eyes of men the sufferings of Christ, which were so great, as the anger of his Father was poured out upon him against the sins of his people. And that anger being spent upon Christ is now turned away from the people of God. Oh, is that what you long for tonight? You fear the anger of God? You fear his righteous anger against you as a guilty sinner? But to see your sins laid upon Christ. Oh, to see the Lord Jesus suffer in your room place instead. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, out of Christ. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is generally understood, this double. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. His precious blood to cleanse from all sin. And let us remember, let us understand, nothing but the precious blood of Jesus atones for sin. Nothing else cleanseth from sin. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears of repentance ever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Oh, it may be tonight you long for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon. You long for that sweet and blessed assurance that your sins have been forgiven for Jesus' sake, that he suffered, bled and died for you. But would you be found like the children of Israel on that Passover night, sheltering under the blood by faith? By faith, sheltering under the blood of Christ. Well, it leads me to the first verse of that hymn. You see, it's the same, really. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and its power. O sheltering under the blood, and the angel of death passed over. Those souls sheltering under the blood did not die. Oh, they were spared they were saved, they were delivered. And yet the dear Lord in his love and mercy does come at times and, oh, bless his people with that peace which passeth all understanding when the blood is applied upon the soul. And, oh, that healing, that cleansing, that pardon, that forgiveness is truly felt. Pray on, dear soul. The time of love will come when ye shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but ye shall say, for me, for me. Oh, the effect. Oh, the gracious effect of it. That sweet sense of blood-bought pardon, her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Again, it's that little word, all her sins. And our sins are innumerable. And, oh, when that is felt, and all her sins mean so much. Not some, not many, not the majority, not nearly all, but all her sins. The blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. But then the Lord Jesus came. He had that work before him. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And Jesus said, ere he lay down his life, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He wrought out that robe of righteousness. Very simply, he never, ever sinned. He obeyed to its very jot and tittle, that's the tiny characters in the Hebrew language, the law of God. The Ten Commandments he himself gave as God at Sinai. He came under as a real man. A real man, sin only accepted. And as a real man, he lived that holy life. And though tempted by Satan, provoked by the world, he never sinned. Not one sinful deed, not one sinful word, and not one sinful thought. Sinless, undefiled, perfect, perfect obedience. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. He wrought out that spotless, perfect robe of righteousness. Now, we need the Holy Spirit to both teach us that any self-righteousness that we have before God is seen as filthy rags. The best illustration, I feel, is to consider a bride turning up for her wedding wearing filthy rags. You wouldn't think of it, would you? And so it is with God. He sees his people in their own self-righteousness wearing filthy rags. Because sin has marred, polluted, defiled everything. Sin is mixed in all that we think and say and do. We have no righteousness of our own, not acceptable unto God. Now the Spirit must teach, but also the Spirit must strip us of every thread of self-righteousness. And some of that stripping may be very painful and very humbling. Oh, what we may think is acceptable unto God, we may have to prove is completely unacceptable. What we may think is presentable unto God, we may have to prove is completely unpresentable unto God. What we may think is pure, or at least looking pure, we may have to understand is completely defiled and filthy. Oh, to be, if you will, stripped bare, then to be clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ. I tend to use that word, imputed. Well, by faith, a child of God found in Christ Jesus, accepted in the Beloved, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. his precious blood and his spotless robe of righteousness. We have that account of Ruth at the feet of Boaz. And let us just lay aside any thoughts of her being there in the times and the cultures, but can we see the spiritual? We come straight to the types, the Lord Jesus and the poor sinner at the feet of Jesus. But what she requested, what she prayed for, spread therefore thy skirt over me, for thou art a near kinsman who has the right to redeem. To me there's something very precious and very beautiful there. A poor sinner at the feet of Jesus, and well, it's the Holy Spirit who brings a poor sinner to the feet of Jesus, and may it be your mercy, my mercy, to be found at the feet of Jesus. And that desire, that need, that prayer. You see, Ruth needed one to take care of her. Really, she needed one to be her husband, and he was a near kinsman. He had the right to redeem, and he did. And dear souls at the feet of Jesus, we feel their great need of him. Spread therefore thy skirt, thy robe over me, for thou art a near kinsman, flesh of our flesh, a real man, and yet who has a right to redeem by thy precious blood, not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with that which is incorruptible, the precious blood of Christ. I will do unto thee all that thou requirest. Spiritually and providentially. What a great comfort. Oh, what a great comfort to dear Ruth when Boaz spoke those words unto her. I will do unto thee all that thou requirest. Oh, perhaps those words might be applied tonight to some poor sinner in great need, either spiritual, providential. That will comfort you. Or you'll receive comfort from that to be assured that the Lord Jesus, I will do unto thee all that thou requirest, as the apostle himself proved many, many times, so he can write, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And to remember the Lord Jesus is able to supply every need. Another word which has pressed upon me during the day, you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and the apostle there writing to the church at Corinth, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, the apostle knew tribulation. He knew trouble. Indeed, he writes of being troubled on every side. He writes of that sentence of death later on here, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Remember the things of nature, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. His word shall stand. Perhaps with the psalmist you pray, you feel, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. For this is my comfort in mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Thy word has entered into my heart. Thy word has abode or abides in my heart. Thy word, I trust, has had a sanctifying effect, it's produced an exercise. Oh, thy word has brought me to the throne of grace. Thy word has raised this hope in my soul that it shall be so. And though it may be some time since that word was first given. The word of our God shall stand forever. I will work, and who shall let it? The Lord will perform his word. And that word perhaps he has given to you. And you bring it back to him in prayer. You remind him, I say that very carefully, of his word. Remember the word. That word given. That word of comfort. That word of promise. That word which raised a hope. And though all seem to be coming against it, to believe like that rock, the word of our God shall stand forever. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Oh, it is a wonderful thing to be comforted by God, to receive that comfort from him. When the good shepherd, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. It just comes to mind, sometimes the sheep are frightened if there's a wolf, a lion, a wild beast around. They're frightened. What does the shepherd do? The good shepherd, as David was, he protects them. He protects them. He either drives away the wild beast or he slays it. He will protect his sheep. Oh, how much more shall the deer, the good shepherd, protect his people, to be that wall of fire round about them. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Well, perhaps there is one tonight, and these words seem so applicable. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? You remember that time Jesus constrained his disciples to go over the other side before him. He sent away the multitudes following the feed of the 5,000. And there they were in now going forth in the sea. And it was now dark. And Jesus had not come unto them. But he saw them toiling in rowing because the wind was contrary. And perhaps some tonight, that describes your pathway at this present time, is dark. All things are so dark. You long to see your way, but you cannot. Things are so dark. Perhaps in your soul it's so dark, and you're toiling. You're toiling in prayer. You're toiling in these troubles, these tribulations, these difficulties, these problems. You're labouring, and you feel your strength is waning. You feel you cannot carry on. Oh, it's so hard. The wind is contrary. All these things are against me, one thing after another, wave upon wave. Let us remember, the disciples, I'm sure, were struggling. No doubt they were very tired. It was through the night. They were very weary. Up on that mountain, unbeknown to them, unseen to them, was the Lord Jesus. He wasn't sleeping that night. He was in prayer unto his Father. And he was looking upon his people, struggling. But he was praying for them. Praying for them. And dear soul, struggling tonight. Oh, feeling so oppressed, so weary, so troubled, so burdened, so faint, so weak, so weary. Lord Jesus, now at the right hand of the Father in heaven above, is praying for you. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me, them, those praying souls. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Oh, you feel to be faint tonight. You feel you cannot carry on. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, no strength in and of themselves, He increases strength. Do we not read in Hebrews 11, that wonderful chapter on faith? Out of weakness were made strong. I wonder how many of you also have proved this word many, many times. Because I believe a child of God is brought here many, many times. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Oh, that God is in control. He sitteth upon the circle of the earth. All the inhabitants, whoever they are, but as grasshoppers before him. God rules and God overrules. God turns and God overturns. Oh, may it be our comfort to trust in a wise and gracious God. And though for a time we may feel to be not comforted, we may feel to be comfortless, well, let us come back to where we began. That precious promise of the Lord Jesus. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He did to the disciples. It was in the fourth watch of the night. He came walking upon the water. He came to them. And though at first they cried out for fear, thinking he was a spirit, a ghost, be not afraid. It is I. It is I. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
God willing, Mr. Jabez Rupp will preach next Lord's Day, Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening, and there'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 757. Great God, how deep thy counsels lie, supreme in power art thou. All things to thy omniscient eye are one eternal now. Hymn 757.
Thank you.
now may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.